Welcome to the Building PA Podcast, the voice of the construction industry throughout Pennsylvania, presented by PJ Dick. Here are your co-hosts, Chris Martin and John O'Brien.
Hello, and welcome to the Building PA Podcast. I am co-host John O'Brien from the Keystone Contractors Association, and today I'm coming to you from the Quandall Studio, and joined as always by co-host Chris Martin. Chris, what's going on?
Good day, John. I am sitting, looking out my office window as the snow starts to gently fall, and it's kind of nice. Although, of course, you know, driving in it in the next couple hours or days is going to be fun, but that's a whole other story. Hey, everything's going well.
You're
in
a Pittsburgher.
That's right. We're strong. We're tough. Yeah. We can do it. You know. You're from here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. How are things in the Quandall? How are things in the Quandall studio?
Things are going great in the Quandall studio. You know, we're wrapping up 2020, looking forward to 2021 and better days for the construction industry. So, ready to rock and roll this year.
That is good. That is very good. Yeah. And we've got a really unique element of what we're going to talk about today, because this is going to kick off a whole new series for us, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're kicking off the business leadership series. As those in the audience know and can recall, I'm a jealous wannabe business owner, and I always like getting business owners on and hearing their stories and hearing Chris's stories and Chris's chiming in too. You know, we do get a lot of positive feedback and positive comments when we bring on some business owners. So Chris, being the marketing guru that he is, says, hey, we can create a series out of this.
This episode is part of the McQueen Building Company's Business Leadership Series, an ongoing series of episodes from the Building PA Podcast, brought to you by PJ Dick.
Great idea, Chris. I'm looking forward to it. And we lined up some awesome guests to fill out the Business Leadership Series.
Yeah, we did. Thanks to you, and thank you for those kind words. And as we mentioned, the Business Leadership Series is focused on learning from those that have gone before us, so to speak, and helping us understand the success and what it's taken for the people that are building businesses in our industry. And today, we are fortunate to have the person that is behind McQueen Building Company. He's got a great team. I can attest to that because they've done some work for us personally. But more importantly, Jeff McQueen, who is joining us today. Thank you, Jeff, for joining us. He's also graciously sponsored the Business Leadership Series. So with that, Jeff, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your company, and your thoughts on the Business Leadership Series?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me, guys. Really honored to be here. My name is Jeff McQueen. I am the CEO of McQueen Building Company. We're a Pittsburgh-based design-build contracting firm. We specialize in typically high-end residential additions, renovations, potentially some new build projects that we have coming along. I'm very passionate about not just the leadership component, but I think a real big aspect of leadership is culture, and we'll probably get into that, and trying to do things a little bit different in the marketplace. I think we as contractors have a giant hill to climb when we first meet clients for a number of reasons, and we're in business to try to change the taste in the client's mouth in dealing with general contractors, because it's a really professional, a field that requires a lot of education and professionalism, and we can do that, but we need to be mindful of some of the things that we've done wrong as a trade over the years, and try to make some of those corrections and be more vulnerable with clients. So I think this is a great series, something that we're very passionate about and something that we've become very successful in focusing on. So that's kind of why we're behind it, and we're excited to be here.
Yeah. Awesome. I like how, Jeff, you mentioned about lessons learned, and you have to build off of the past to make yourself better. And, you know, that's awesome for you to point that out right away. Which is huge in culture, you know, and
yeah.
just excited to have you on and ready to get rolling with this business leadership series. So again, on behalf of Chris and I, again, great to have you. So as far as lessons learned in the construction industry, it's all about, you know, passing down knowledge and passing down information. Did you have any sort of mentors or guides that helped you along the early stages of your career and starting your company?
Yeah, I'd say quite a few. And it's funny, the first one being, I'd have to say my own mother and father. I think we overthink things. I know I do, and try to make things more difficult than they really need to be. But I love the quote that all of the things that we needed to learn and succeed in, we learned in grade school and whatnot. And I think it's so true in the construction industry. There's a lot of technical things that are important, obviously, but you got to get past the "I trust you" phase first. And I had a number of folks that I've worked for over the years. I've been an employee much longer than I've been an employer. And so this is somewhat new over the last 5 years for me. But learning from a couple of the folks that I've worked for is that problems are only problems if you are not honest. And so a couple of the folks that I worked for really stressed the importance of, the problem is actually an opportunity. And if you're just honest in the first place, you take a problem and make it an opportunity. And so I've worked for a number of folks that I think did that really well and forged that in me, that not to be afraid when you run into issues on a job and be able to walk the customer through and make them feel comfortable with the fact that they hired you, not because there won't be problems, but because there are problems. So, yeah, I've worked for a lot of folks that I think instilled that in me all throughout my career.
I love what you just said. I mean, whether we're talking construction or just business in general, problems are only problems if you aren't honest. And
yes, that's all.
That is, if you're listening to this and you take nothing else away today, please take that away. You know, that is just massive. So Jeff, let's talk about that for a second. So tell me how you use that with your team, because I think that's something that a lot of people are going to take away from this.
I mean, it starts early for us. So when we meet the customer, my wife's in the business, we have interior designers, we have architects, and we're always kind of enforcing the fact that there's going to be issues. We didn't build your home to begin with. Remodeling is a whole different ball of wax. But so we kind of have like a shoe in with, you know, the fact that we didn't build it to begin with, to be able to tell them there are going to be things that occur along the way. So we're planting the seed early and often and not trying to tell people that this is going to be perfect. And I know when I was younger, when I first started out, I was so afraid to let people know that things aren't going to go perfect. And now I've realized that our industry is full of the expertise that we have, that it's not supposed to be perfect. That's why you hired us in the first place. So I reinforce that with my team, right?
Yeah, that's perfect. I like that.
Well, I've reinforced this with my team because on every single job, almost every single day, there's an opportunity that arises for us to show our true colors, which are, we care about you, we care about your home, here's what we encountered. And I've told them repeatedly, when you discuss a problem, let's make sure that we bring a few solutions to the table. If you discuss a problem without any possible solutions, to me, you're just whining. And so we tell them to make sure that you've come up with a few options. We look at all the possible remedies to the problem. And then you come to them with the knowledge that we already have, the professionalism that we sold to them in the first place, and we're explaining to them, here's what we encountered. And the guys, it's really cool to watch. They actually are addicted to it now. They because the homeowners respect the clients, the office that we're working in, whatever the case may be, they respect us so much more when we're able to come to them with, here's the problem, here's how we plan to remedy it. Sometimes it costs them more money. We try to avoid that. But if you can't, you can't. But when you're measured and you're professional and you hit the problem head on and you're not hiding things, the fact is, if you lie, you're going to get found out anyway. So why prolong that? Why go, you know, it's just a mess. So the guys that we've employed, and Chris, you kind of touched on this, you've seen it, like they have no problems talking about those things. They're comfortable with it. That's why you hired us to begin with. It's a great marketing tool. I hate to say that from that perspective, but it's also just being a good human.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, I can, for full disclosure, we hired Jeff and his company and his team to come out and redo a bathroom for us, and blown away. You know, having worked in the industry for so many years on the marketing side, and then to finally, you know, meet a contractor that, as Jeff said, you know, the trust you phase. Jeff and I actually had conversations about that. Like, I need to trust you. And it kind of, it wasn't, I mean, we're friends, admittedly. And, you know, that finally got to that, and the trust you phase for me was the first day on the job. The project started, and I can attest to what Jeff is talking about here, because there was no problems, thankfully, but at the end of the day, the guys that were there, Mike and Mike were on your team. I mean, the last thing they said to us at the end of the day is, we'll be here at 8:00 tomorrow, and this is what we're going to do. And lo and behold, the next day at 7:45, these guys were sitting in my front yard. And I even went out to them, like, guys, you can come in. They're like, no, we start at 8:00. I'm like, cool. So that's amazing.
Yeah.
Chris, so sometimes it's not problems too, right? Sometimes it's actually just communicating. We've spent a lot of time with our guys making sure they understand the homeowners don't know what we're doing. So not telling them what you're doing isn't good. I mean, they hear you, they see you, but they don't know what's being done on a daily basis. And you keep people's predispositions towards contractors at bay when you explain to them, this is what I did, this is what we've done, this is what we encountered, here's what we're going to be doing tomorrow. Do you have any questions? And I think that in this industry, we forget to put ourselves in the shoes of our clients, which is they don't know what we do. They don't really trust us. Mm-hmm. They're nervous. It's costing a lot of money. And we kind of spend a great deal of time communicating with our clients, sometimes virtually, sometimes digitally with an app or what have you. But we really believe in being vulnerable, over-communicating, and making sure that they feel heard and have a platform to ask us questions, because I know me, and I know that at times I just want to be left alone so I can get my job done. But we forget that part of our job is the people, the clients. Mm-hmm. And so we spend a lot more time doing that than some other folks might think is worth, but we also keep the problems at bay and the fear and the feeling, because the feelings are real. And if you can address them early and often, you have a really successful business.
Yeah. Can you maybe touch on how to get buy-in within your company? Because you know, it's as far as building up trust, it's easy to sit there in the office and say, oh, this is what we need to do. But until it happens in the field, until, you know, they build up that trust and the workers see it play out, you know, how do you get to that step? How do you get them to buy into this whole mindset that you have?
That's the best question I think you could ask, John. So having been an employee for so much longer than I've been an employer, I learned a lot of lessons, good and bad, about what it meant to be led. And did I want to follow the person I was working for? And if so, why? And if not, why? And some of the things I learned along the way was that trust factor we talked about with Mrs. Smith, the fictitious customer here. It actually starts a lot sooner than that. It starts with my guys trusting me. And I have put a focus on, if I say I'm going to do something for my team, whatever it is, if there's going to be a bonus put in place, if there's going to be a pay raise, if I'm going to have a meeting with a guy to review his performance, there's so many things that take place during the day with your employer, with your employees, that it's easy for an employer to say, I can push that off, I can wait a week. Well, that stuff plants seeds, and over time it grows into something, and it turns into doubt. And then they don't trust you. Mm-hmm. And when they don't trust you, they might do what they're asked to do for their paycheck, but they're not doing it because of conviction. And I'm not perfect, but I spend an exorbitant amount of time of making sure that if I tell my guys or any of the folks that work for me that I'm going to do something, that by gosh, I do it. So that they trust me and they know that if X, then Y is real and it's true. Then when we get to real problems, I don't push them off. I get involved and I hold their hand and I walk through it with them. And then the last thing is that when there's a real issue and they need backed up, they know I have their back. They know that, here's a great way to put it. They'll go through a wall for you if they believe you're on the other side and that you're going to help dust off the wounds, right? But if they think that you're just going to send them through a wall and then you're going to go home, and they're going to have to be dealt, and they're going to deal with the consequences of running through that wall on their own, well, they're going to only do that maybe once or twice. So I try really hard to do what I say I'm going to do, and then also to not cut their legs out from under them. If a homeowner is upset about something and we have something to deal with, which happens, and it concerns an employee, I make sure that I'm addressing the client's needs but without cutting the knees out from under my guys. And so I love my team. I make it known verbally. I make it known with my actions. The marketing that we do with our company is not about me. It's got my name on the door, but I'm chucking a truck without them, and they know it, and I make it clear. I also don't know everything. So I think the third thing is I don't pretend to. My job isn't to know how to do everything. My job is to hire and put the right people in the right place so that they can do it, and I trust them. Mm-hmm. And they have opportunities to fail. I could go on. I'm sorry. I don't mean to ramble, but
no, this is
if you hire somebody, John, if you hire somebody and pay them to do the job, and then you take the roles or the responsibilities away from them and you do it yourself, you're the fool as the employer for paying somebody and then doing the job for them. So if I hire somebody and I'm going to trust them, or I shouldn't be paying them, and I just trust them. And when you give trust, you get trust. And so I back to what my mom told me, you know, treat others as you want to be treated, and it really actually works. Go figure, Mom.
Yep. Moms know everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's working.
It is. So it truly is. I can't rave enough about the job that you did here, but that's not why we're here, admittedly. You know, so I'm sure. I'm kind of pulling myself back too. So Jeff, can you talk a little bit about the culture at McQueen Building Company from the employees' perspective? Like, what do they feel is the aspect that is so energized and working toward the same goal?
Yeah, freedom. I mean, it's truly freedom. When you get a culture like we have, and we're super blessed to have, and it works, and they benefit from it, then it grows. And I think what they're benefiting from is the freedom that trust gives to an employee. So, you know, whether you have a team of carpenters or, finished carpenters or drywall guys or whatever the phase may be, when they feel empowered and trusted to do their job and to make mistakes, because a mistake isn't the end of the world, we're not going to overreact, we're going to fix it, we're going to use it, like we talked about earlier, as an opportunity. I can't begin to express how much I wish I had that as an employee. And that's the environment we were trying to create, was one that you had the freedom to make decisions because you're the professional, not me. We don't have people staring over your shoulder every minute of the day because we trust you. Guys, it's amazing what it does. It infects the entire company with the things we need, which is, I'll be honest, profit. I don't have a lot of managers. We don't need a lot of managers. Managers watch people. Our guys do things, and we produce a lot of work with fewer people. The culture that they grab onto, that they benefit from, guys, is we can do more work with less people that like each other, are accountable to one another, and want to impress each other than you can with a group full of people that have more experience but hate each other. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable the amount of work that we get done with so few people in a project. I'm talking huge projects, big additions, floor plan renovations of large estates with so few people on site. And then here's what's interesting. We take this same model to our subcontractor base. So we have a few subcontractors that are close friends of mine that I think share the same values and the same commitment to not just excellence, but to the customer. So it's not just our employees, it's our subcontractors. And the last thing I'll say, guys, about this whole thing, the thing that the guys buy into so much is they know that my mentality is not the customer is first, because the customer is not first. my team is first. Because if my team is first and they know they're first, they're going to give the customer such good service that I don't even have to even talk about the customer and their needs or them being first. So the guys come first, the team comes first, and that produces the results that we get with the client, that it's not even a matter of dealing with the client.
A nice approach, unique approach. I like it.
Yeah.
It's definitely different. I
mean, could you imagine, John, if members of the KCA approached their businesses the same way here, and not just KCA, I mean the whole Commonwealth, if every contractor approached their business the way that Jeff does, our industry would be, head and shoulders above so many others.
Oh yeah,
it's a really, really interesting concept to approach, and it's a perfect episode to start our business leadership series with the Building PA podcast. And today we're speaking with Jeff McQueen of McQueen Building. And John, take it away. What's your next question?
My next question. I mean, it's been awesome so far. I mean, we're talking honesty, we're talking trust, empowering workers. Just awesome stuff here. But, nothing stays the same in life. You either get better or worse.
Yeah.
Do you feel, when it comes to your workforce and your crews, do they need extra push? Do they need extra guidance? Do they need encouragement, motivation? Or is it enough just to empower them and they keep flourishing?
That's kind of the next level for me. I think I'm going to tell you what I think because I'm not maybe to the point where I know it yet. I think it's never good enough. And I think that as a leader, I have to be in front of them, proving myself and the fact that I trust them. That is a process. It's not a destination. Because otherwise, over time, I become a guy in an office who said one thing, did a couple good things, and now he just expects me to keep going. And I'm speaking as if I were an employee, and I try to do that a lot, just think about.
Yeah.
So I think it's a long process, and I think I've started it. And I think the next level is retention. We've done a really good job of that. We've only lost two folks over a few-year period. One was here temporarily, and the other, we did hire a terrorist at one point, didn't know it. Found out, Trojan horse got me, and it happens. But for the most part, we have no turnover. I think my next job is to develop them, because nobody's, my finished carpenter may not want to be a finished carpenter forever. He may want to get into leadership, and I just know that all my guys have goals, and it's unique to them and their individual skills and talents. And my job is to see that if it's not here, that I'm giving them the skills and the opportunity and the experience to go where they want to go. So I think the next step, to answer your question more succinctly, is it is an ongoing process of being in relationship with my team and knowing what their next goals are and seeing if I can play a part in getting them there, whether it's with me or not. Ultimately, keeping somebody in a position because it suits me. I love this. I have this quote I tell the team all the time. What we do for a living is like a chess game in which both people have to win every single time for it to be successful. And so for that, or with regards to that, I think my job is to play a part in ushering them along the way in their goals. And if they stay with me, then great. I'm better off for it. But I'm also not better off if I keep them in a place that ultimately isn't their goal, and we'll end up turning into strife or division or issues within the team that, aren't good. So I think my next step is just continuing the relationship with the guys and the ladies, and making sure that I'm promoting an environment that they can learn and develop and grow in their goals.
Awesome.
That is really good. I like that. This is a great way to kick off this series. But Jeff, what do you see as some of the challenges that you may face achieving those goals?
Yeah. How they've been treated in the past plays a huge part. How I've been treated in the past plays a huge part. I don't have this down. Guys, I'll speak to the whole state and the whole industry as a whole here. Cash flow is a thing. It's kind of like our biggest thing, right? So I think it would behoove me to speak to that. The pandemic didn't help that, and you can only do so much with your mouth. To a certain extent, there comes a time when you got to put your money where your mouth is. So I think I spend a lot of time, and Chris, you know from other discussions that we have, that I spend a lot of time in cash flow, ensuring that the business is liquid enough to be able to also promote these folks in that way, because they do work for me for money. And not just money, but that's a huge part of it. So I will say that cash flow is our biggest threat and our biggest asset. And to growth and harmony and our culture, it's a huge piece, man. You can't overlook that. And I think a lot of us in the industry don't have the financial background, I'll include myself, to manage that to the best of our ability. So I have some folks that I surround myself with to help me and check me and make sure that I'm making the decisions I need to now so that the money is there in the future. Because this team, while we're growing, they're going to have other needs and other wants and other things that they deserve. And that's the answer, is definitely cash flow is the biggest threat and challenge.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. And that's not just related to the construction industry either. I can attest to that from the marketing industry. That is a definite. So, silly question, but what was the realization for you that you needed to go in this path? Like, what was the aha moment or the epiphany moment for Jeff McQueen that said, "Hey, I need to go down this path"?
There wasn't just one. I love sports, and I think that one driving force is I love teams, and I think teams are better than individuals. And 10 individuals working on a job is half as valuable as a team of 5 doing the same task. And I think that these are just principles you learn along the way, whether it be through your faith or through your experience in sports, but I'm a huge team guy. I was built that way. I was born that way. I'd rather do something with someone than do it alone. I've kind of taken that whole approach to the business. But I think the aha moment for me, unfortunately, was working in an environment that's nothing like this and wanting it so bad and having, like, I was the VP of another construction company. I had a big impact. I think I did, at least on the culture and on our commitment to teams, but I didn't have the final say. And being that I wasn't the CEO and I wasn't the owner, the decisions I made had to still be run by somebody else. And we didn't always align, which is natural, which is fine. So when I started this, I knew from experiencing through sports and through other things in my faith, and then also at other companies where I was in leadership before, I've experienced the team concept. And I'm speaking broadly there, but the team concept being the real way to shine. So that when I started this, I knew that I wanted to have a team that was unified, that had a common goal, that had common interests, not outside of the work, but we wanted to attack the construction industry the same way, that we were aligned. And it started with just me and one guy, and then it was 2 guys, and then it was 4, and now it's 24, and that's how we got here.
Okay. I like the mention of the sports. I'm a big sports junkie as well. I like reading sports books about coaches and figuring out how they got to where they are and what leadership skills can I take from them to apply in my career. And so I'm with you, brother.
Tomlin fan. I'm a big Tomlin fan. I think that what's so cool about Mike Tomlin, and I know this is a little bit of a divergence, but everybody that you hear talk about him, from the sports writers to past players, whether it's Ryan Clark or whoever it is, what you see on the camera is exactly who he is all the time. I think they just mentioned it in the game this last week, how the 2 coaches that were coaching, it was Tomlin and the other coach, they went to college together. And they're like, he's always been like this. So to a certain degree, like, I've kind of always been like this, but now I'm just honored to have an environment that I get to test it out in, and it's working.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I agree. I like Tomlin too.
Yeah.
Tell it like it is.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. It's so eloquent. But Jeff, thank you thank you for joining us today to talk culture. Thank you for heading up the Business Leadership Series. We look forward to continued discussions, and we'll more than likely going to come back to you and say, hey, let's continue this conversation.
And we'll need some more quotes next time. Jeff, we'll need some more quotes next time. Those are some great quotes. Those are great.
Yes.
Thank you. Can we scratch something for a minute? Can I add something that you can use or not use? But I feel terrible. I had a note here that I wanted to say something. And I want to know, I'm gonna say it, and then you can use it or not. But I feel like I sound like I know everything, and I want to make sure that's not the case. But you asked me a question about how do you get them to buy in. And I think the number one thing is admitting when I'm wrong. And I spend a lot of time correcting myself and admitting, not overly, I don't do it all the time, but I'm not falling on a sword just to fall on a sword as an act. If I'm wrong, I take responsibility for it. And there's something about the leader admitting to the team, hey, I messed up, that was wrong of me, or whatever the case may be. There's so much respect that's garnered, and it encourages them to do the same thing. So I just wanted to throw that out there, that it's not just knowing everything, because my job isn't to know everything. My job is to put people in the position to win and make sure that they have the tools they need. And then if I do make a mistake, that I also admit the same thing.
Well said.
Sorry, I just wanted to get that out there. If you use it, great. If not, I just don't want to come across like I know everything.
No, that was good.
Yeah, that was good. And I can tell you just from listening, taking notes, that's not coming off that way. So
okay.
I think you're okay.
Okay, good. All right, thank you.
Yeah. Well, hey, again, Jeff, thank you. This has been a great, great kickoff series, and can't wait to see where we can take this.
Great. Looking forward to hearing the rest of the guests. Thank you.
Thank you for joining the Building PA Podcast, presented by PJ Dick. To stay up to date, follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook, and visit buildingpapodcast.com to subscribe to upcoming shows. Thanks for listening.